Thank you. Take your Bibles, if you will, and find the book of Acts, chapter 28. It's a passage that I've often overlooked. On my way to get to the end of Acts, I've oftentimes overlooked this passage. I have to admit it to you. Did you enjoy the time of celebration and worship this morning? I mean, my goodness. You know, go ahead, we've got time. Oh, hallelujah. You know, an old preacher 100 years or so ago said that a dancing foot and a praying knee don't grow on the same limb. Wish he would have been here today. I think Jesus would want to be a part of this worship team. Well, and then you take a look in your Bibles, whether you have the hard copy or the electronic copy, but wherever you're watching at home or here, so good to see us all together again. This is beautiful to be able to actually fellowship. You know, oh, go ahead. Yeah, this is a worshiping and happy church, so I just want you to know. And I just want you to know that the work that you are endeavoring to do to bless this city, we're going to look into God's word today to see how at an opportune time, unexpected time, something that was unplanned time, came to the forefront of opportunity. It was a divine interruption, something that we had not planned on, something that we had not expected, something that was, was not in our agenda. But life happens. We're going to see that this happened to the apostle. And he, at that moment, did not need to look at his wristband and say, what would Jesus do? He was so formed in Christ. He was so close to Christ. He was so in tune with Christ that at the moment of divine interruption, he noted that there was a kingdom opportunity. That's what we're going to look at today as we take a look into the Word of God, and we're just going to move through some slides together, and you'll have access to all of this. But if you take a look at where we're at today, we're going to talk about Malta. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Malta, much less read about Malta. Malta is a little tiny, almost insignificant little island just south of the island of Sicily near Italy, and Paul had never intended to go to Malta. Some of you have never intended to go to Malta. But I can tell you that in many ways, some of you are actually in Malta now. And some of you will be going to Malta. Maybe some of you have come out of Malta. But that Malta experience is something that sooner or later all of us will experience. And the question is, will we see the divine interruption as a kingdom opportunity? Acts chapter 28, but before Acts chapter 28, I just want to remind you of what the context of all of this is, all the way from Acts 23, where Paul is finishing up a missionary journey, his third one, and it was not an easy thing, and he was expecting for there to be worship time and celebration time, and all of a sudden he was falsely accused, and he was brought before the Sanhedrin, and he was falsely accused of preaching heresy, and he wanted to still honor God, and so he was arrested. And from Acts 23, Acts 24, he defends himself before Felix. He's going to be falsely accused. And because he was a Roman citizen, he said, I am going to appeal to Caesar because, by the way, I need to get to Rome. That was his agenda, to bring the gospel to the city of Rome. And that was his agenda. That was his plan. That was where he was going. But on the way, as life oftentimes happens, life gets in the way of our plans, something that we had not expected. It could be everything from a flat tire to a delay at an airport to a negative doctor's report, a crisis in our family. It can be something that occurs that we had not anticipated, and we're going into a crisis. And we know that in every crisis, there's a shock when you first get the news. And then there's a storm that we go through. Everything is rattled. The ways that we had planned it, the life that we had known, the stability that we had had is all shaken up. We go into a storm, and then we begin to search for a new normal. We've all done that in the last year. When this COVID thing hit, we did not know what to expect. It was the shock of all of it. And then there was the storm of being shut down and people going through the emotional, spiritual, the mental health needs we cannot even keep up at Emerge. And this is one of the reasons why at Grand Rapids First, Pastor Sam, Pastor Brenda, the team that's here, God has placed upon their heart this city. Because there are so many in this city that are experiencing a Malta experience, something that they had not intended. Something that had gone awry, something that they had not planned on. And they need Jesus Christ. They need what you have to give. And you, as a body of Christ, you've gathered together. We gather here. We worship together. We are taught of the Word of God. We're filled up. We're filled with the Spirit. We trust that God's going to do it. And then we go out into that Malta of our lives called Grand Rapids. Acts chapter 28, they go through the storm, and Paul said, you know, guys, it's going to get really bad. We need to pull in, and they did not listen to him. 276 people on this ship, and sure enough, they ran aground, they crashed. And we pick up in our reading in Acts chapter 28, if you'll just follow along. It's a little lengthy, but please hear the word of the Lord. And after they crashed the storm, they said, just whatever you needed to do, get to the shore no matter how you can do it. And once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders, sometimes your versions will say the savages or, you know, the people, basically just means the strangers, people we did not know. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire. I mean, it was cold, it was wet, it was damp, it was stormy. They had just gone through 14 days of storms, and they're all laying on the beach. They're exhausted. They showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire, and they welcomed us because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. And as he put it on the fire, it was this viper, a snake that was sleeping, hibernating. And as it got near the fire, it came awake and it grabbed onto the first thing that it could find. It turned out to be Paul's hand. You ever been bitten by a snake? I hope not. And it fastened itself on his hand, and when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live. When we're going into our Malta, a lot of people will come to conclusions as to why we're going into Malta. And sometimes if they don't know what to say, they'll still say something. When I was diagnosed with cancer 10 years ago, I mean, it was wonderful at first if people would just come and sit with me. And then I started getting books and all well-meaning, 41 books on how I was going to deal with this. And then I had people say, well, you know, if you really had more faith, you wouldn't have this cancer. If you just would just trust more. And it just went on and on. It's kind of like when people don't even know what to say, they still oftentimes say something. And here they look at Paul and they say, well, obviously this guy must be a murderer because even though he survived the storm, this God of ours, Justice, is going to take him out. But Paul shook off the snake into the fire. and he suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time, I don't know how long they waited, but they waited a long time just to kind of see the show. And after waiting a long time and seeing that nothing unusual had happened to him, they changed their minds. So now instead of being this awful murderer, he's a god. You have to be careful not to believe all the press clippings about you, even if they're bad or if they're good. And Paul said, you know what, guys? Wrong on both accounts. And there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. Now think about this in terms of Grand Rapids. Think about the life that you have that's been changed by Jesus Christ, and there's a need out there, and the word gets out that this church cares about this city. We're going into the schools, we're going into the police departments, we're going into the hospitals, we're going into the places where people are, and it's making a difference. And here it comes out that Publius, the chief official of the island, he welcomed us to his home and he showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. And then as it turns out, his father was sick. He had the fever and he had the scoots. Maybe he got the second dose. I don't know what it was, but he had the scoots. And he was not feeling well. In fact, he was feeling so sick that this is something that was unexpected. Paul was on his way to Rome. He was there on his way to Rome. He wasn't expecting to be in Malta. Yes? He was not anticipating being there, but he was there, and it was a divine interruption, and Paul saw it as a kingdom opportunity. And so he prays for the father of the headman on the island. He went in to see him, and notice what Paul did. After prayer, he placed his hands on him and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and they were cured. I can tell you that as this whole initiative for the city of Grand Rapids begins to take place and people's lives begin to be changed, the hungry are fed, the sick are healed, the lost are found, the people that are on the outside are brought onto the inside, I'm telling you, the word will spread. And people came because they heard that this was going on. And lo and behold, he prayed for them. And they were cured, and they honored us in many ways. Now listen, this was unanticipated. This was unexpected. This was an interruption in the plans. It happens all the time. And the question is, what will you do when you are in your Malta, and what will you do when you know someone is in their Malta? And it turns out that they honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, and by the way, I get irritated if it's a 3-hour delay at the airport. In February, I spoke in El Paso. It was 70 degrees when I got off the plane. 2 days later, remember in Texas, the big storm? I got caught in that storm, and I was stuck in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport all night long. No hotels, no food. I had half a can of Pringles and a protein bar. That was it. And no hotels, no nothing. And I don't know if you've ever stayed in an airport all night long. It's miserable. They were in a 3-month delay. I mean, can you imagine living in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport with no food, no place to lay down, no nothing? For me, it was an irritant for 8 hours. 3 months. How long have you been in your Malta? Maybe it's been a while longer. Some of you are still waiting for that touch. Some of you are still waiting for that visit. Some of you are still waiting for that card with a gift card in it. And after 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship. And it had wintered. And I just want to say that you may be in your Malta today. Something unanticipated, something unexpected. And here you are. And Ephesians 5 reminds us to be careful how we live, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of which opportunity? How much? Every opportunity. Not just when things are going well, not when you get the good doctor's report, not when the bank account is in the black, not when your marriage is thriving. It's not when those things. The scripture says that in all things be ready, and then we also hear from God's word that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him. So I just want to talk to you for just a few moments, if that's all right, about unanticipated delays and reversals and interruptions. And the question is, what will you do during that time? I would like you to see that these interruptions did not take God by surprise. It's a kingdom opportunity, and the question I ask is, where's your Malta? What will you do during that time? So, who are we talking about here? We're talking about Paul. We're talking about a shipwreck, an interruption. It was on the way to Rome, that's the when. And the why, he was on this ship to Rome because he had placed his faith in Christ and had been falsely accused. And may I say, church, your commitment to Jesus Christ is not going to guarantee that you won't at some point face Malta. And I want to say to you that God is with you in the good times, and he's with you in the difficult times. He's with you in the great times. He's with you in the dark times. He's with you when things are going well. He's with you when things are not going well. Paul did not know what he was signing up for when he said, "Yes, Lord," and neither do you. I don't know what I signed up for when I said, "Yes, Lord." I just knew that he was the one. I trusted him as my Savior. I wanted him to be the Lord of my life. I said, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord," and he said, "Okay, well, guess what? You're going to go into Malta." You can remember a time when your plans did not work out. Airport delay, flat tire, doctor's report, when things are just not going so well for you. Here's a picture of my old flat tire. You can kind of see that, or this group of people that are ready for the plane. They're ready to go. And the plane is not there. You've had that happen. I hope it doesn't happen today. Honey, if you're watching, I will be home tonight, sooner or later. But difficulties will come. You will have that ache and pain. You will have that doctor's report at some point. It's something that you will say, "Lord Jesus Christ, will I trust you in my Malta?" So here's Paul, the little bit of background. In Acts 21, Paul's arrested, goes on trial. He appeals to Caesar. Paul voyages to Rome. That's where he wanted to go. And on this voyage, he has this shipwreck. Now, he could have said, "I told you so." And actually, he did say that. He said, "Guys, you should have listened to me, but you didn't. So here we are." It's a divine interruption, but I also am going to trust that this is a kingdom opportunity. So where does it happen? Acts 28, he says, "Where are we? We're in Malta." What do we know? How long? We don't know. It turns out it was a three-month delay. Malta is this little island. You can kind of see the picture where it is. If you ever get a chance to go, I'm sure good beaches and wonderful in the summer. In the wintertime, it's cold and rainy and wet and windy, and it's a place you don't want to be shipwrecked. And there's this Malta that's just this, you know, 7 or 8 miles up and down. That's all there is to it. Paul gets off. He gets busy, just like you do get busy at Grand Rapids. There's a job to do. He says, "All right, well, I didn't want to be here. It's an unanticipated delay. It's an unexpected thing. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to go gather sticks for the fire." Can I just say this to you, church? Whatever needs to be done, do it. If you see a piece of paper on the ground that shouldn't be there, pick it up. You say, is that a holy thing? Yeah, that's holy, holy living. You see a need in your community, you see someone that's helping check you out at the store, you thank them, you bless them. If you're there and you're at a restaurant, now that restaurants are open, you give them a better tip than everyone else. And then you also can say, look, I'm a member at Grand Rapids First, and we're here to make a difference. And can I pray for you? I actually learned how to do that at this church. And so now when I'm out somewhere and there's a server that's come, more often than not, I'll say, we're going to pray for our meal. Is there something we can pray? Listen, you don't know where these divine interruptions are going to come, but these are kingdom opportunities wherever you are. And this place, in this moment, this group of people are going to go out to this community, and you make a difference for Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. You don't know where your Malta is going to be, but I can tell you what remained in Malta. You know what remained in Malta? The same thing that's going to remain in Grand Rapids. The kingdom of God has come. Goodness has come. A favor has come because the people of God have said, yes, Lord. That's what happens in Malta. What remained there? The kingdom of God. There were transformed lives. And possibly, we don't know for sure, but very possibly, there was the establishment of the church. And may I say, this was one of these ongoing things. And may I say, Paul, this was not his first shipwreck. The poor guy, I don't know if I would ever want to go sailing with him. 3 times he was shipwrecked. This guy does not have a good record. 3 times, but he was arrested, he was beaten, he was in prison, he was in hunger, he knew suffering. You don't know what you're signing up to when you say, yes, Lord, but you can trust the yes when you say, Lord. There's people, you know, it's not really possible to say, no, Lord. Can I just say that? It's possible to say no to the Lord, but it's not possible to say no and Lord. It's always a yes, Lord. If he's the Lord, it's always a yes. And I don't know where this is going to take you here in Grand Rapids. I do know that the kingdom of God has come. You have a pastoral team here who loves Jesus, and they love you, and they love the city. They love this area. They are here. They are planted. The Church of Jesus Christ is here. You are regularly taught. You're regularly hear the Word of God. It goes the long distance from the head to the heart. You're not just hearers of the Word. You're doers of the Word. You leave this place. You go to your place where you are, the place of work. You're in your homes, in the place of commerce, in the place of business, and you bring the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God into this Malta called Grand Rapids. That's what it's all about. So the question is, what would you do, what will you do in your Malta? Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, we take every, can I just say that word again? Every opportunity. Can I just say that again? Can you say the word every? Every opportunity. And we know that in Romans 8, 28 and 29, it says, in how many things? Some things. No, it says what? All things. Does that leave anything out? All means all. Every means every, and all means all. And I would just like to, if it's okay, if I just kind of, you know, we've been wearing masks for over a year. Some people have been actually psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, some of us have been wearing masks for a long time. I'd like to just take mine off for a moment, just kind of let you into some things that Marcy and I have gone through in our own Malta. I'd like just to share with you a little bit of this story. It was just 10 years ago that I had been actually neurotically training for a marathon, my 12th one. Who runs marathon? I was running my 12th one, training for it. And I began to feel this pain in my back, and I thought, oh, this is going to be an interruption. So I went to the doctor, and he says, well, you obviously need physical therapy. So he sends me to this big 600-pound gorilla, and he just starts bending and shaping and breaking and moving, and it didn't get any better at all. And then in October of 2011, I was watching a game on TV, and I tried to get up, and I fell to the floor, and I realized something had broken in my back. Got me to the hospital, they did x-rays, they did a biopsy. I got a phone call on that Monday morning, and the doctor said, well, I've got some news for you, it's not good news. I went into my Malta experience, something unanticipated, unexpected. And the doctor said, you have something called multiple myeloma, and then your blood is already occupied 70%, and it begins to eat away at your bones. And it turns out my L5 in my back had just completely disintegrated. I was on the floor, couldn't walk. I was off my feet for over 8 months. I could not get upstairs at my house. They had to put a bathroom and a bed and everything downstairs in the family room. I couldn't even get upstairs. Lots of conversations with God about what's going on. This was not in my plans. I wanted to serve you. I've loved you. I wanted to raise our family. I wanted to do things well, and here I'm going through this. 41 books later, people were explaining why I had this cancer. Just like they said to Paul, well, obviously, you know, he's a murderer, and he's just, this is justice. Well, he didn't die. He must be a God. Can I tell you this? I stand before you today as a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what I do. I actually get to be here with you today. And when I say I'm glad to be here, I'm glad to be anywhere. And I went through all of these treatments, and the next slide you can kind of see this picture of me getting my stem cell. They took everything down to zero, red, white, hemoglobin down to zero. They had to start all over again with stem cells. I actually had to get all my baby shots all over again. But here's the thing that I had to come to terms with. Did God love me in my Malta experience? And some of you are in your Malta experience right now, and you're wondering, where's God? Where is God? Don't see him, don't feel him, don't understand what I'm going through. I had my plans, Paul. I wanted to get to Rome, and here I am with big delay. I don't even know how long I'm going to be here. And then he said, you know what? There's somebody here that needs a touch from God. Publius's father needed to be healed. The people on that island needed to be healed. I stand before you today. Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. I get to actually be an attendant to the bridegroom. What a privilege. What a privilege to be with you. To be able to declare the truth of the Word of God. I don't know how long it's going to be. All I can say is that I'm trusting God for full healing in my body. I'm trusting God for him to be glorified, whether I'm sick or in health, in richer or poorer. It's kind of like the promise you make, you know. Marcy and I made it just a little over 50 years ago to each other, called marriage. And you make the promise. Oh, go ahead. We got time. Marcy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And during that season of time, I said to God, Lord, I'm not afraid to die. I really am not. I'm ready. This is what I've prepared my life. But I promise you this, if you give me this extra time, let me see how my grandkids turn out. Give me continued chances to minister to the body of Christ. I will always give you glory and honor and praise. It's all about him. It's all about him. In the midst of your Malta, trust God with everything. And the good news is that I actually did get to come back. I finished that race that I had planned to do. But I want you to look at that picture. Wait, just hold on a second. I just want to say this. I want you to look at that picture very, very carefully. And I want you to notice that I'm not crossing that line alone. I've got someone on either side of me. We need this church to come alongside this city. There's people in their Malta right now. You may be in your Malta right now. Don't go through your Malta alone. Have someone reach out, ask for help, ask for that ministry, because God is here. He loves you. He values you. He's forgiving you. He's changing you, and he's never going to leave you ever, 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 ever alone. And I just conclude with this by just asking you to reflect on this. Where's your Malta? Where's your Malta? It's right here. It's right now. And I just want to encourage you to trust in the goodness of God in your Malta now and bring the kingdom of God to the place where you are. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
I'd like for you to stand with me if you would. Thank you, Holy Spirit.